Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Bad Company with Gray Eyes Smith, Daniel DeShino, and Weaver of Dreams. Daniel is not feeling well tonight, so he won't be calling in. So it'll likely just be Weaver of Dreams and myself tonight. And I'd like to welcome Weaver Dreams to the show. Hello, Weaver. Welcome to the
Hello,
show.
Hello, thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here.
Absolutely great to have you. And so tonight's show is based on a contest that Daniel DeCino ran called The Grayscale of Sky and City. And so his prompt is a picture prompt. It's a picture of a gray city in a gray, clouded, misty type picture that I'm sure he took with his own camera. So that's the gist of tonight's show. And yeah, what do we got first, Weaver?
Okay, first of all, we have 170 words of no greater matter by anonymously known E1. And I think for a change, I will start the show this time. I usually hand it over to you every time, but going to be different tonight. Right, okay. 170 okay. words of no greater matter by anonymously known E1. What is this life apart from the brilliance itself of opportunity? Our imbalanced pride in so much as our hope is as fortunate. We're opened up to the welcome of every opportunity, then and again. As long as our welcome is fully honest, open to the woefulness of balance utter still, whether either way chosen by us, our free will itself is kept engaged by the promise of every healthy instruction. Though just as just most definitely between the welcome of every new day, albeit this may be, whether sunshine in the city or grey sky still, we all share this promise, no matter what shade today. To live, to learn, to love, for nothing more is to embrace the very own personality best that this life has to offer us, with the personal very best of ourselves, every day. Apart from that first step taken, we are destined to be the journey for ourselves, moving us on into the greatest, all out, downright, outright depths by degrees still, leading us nowhere. End poem.
Excellent read, Weaver. And I like the right notes, introspective, thoughtful, full, and, you know, you can feel the balance between the grayscale, isn't this right? Though just as just most definitely between the welcome of every new day, albeit this, as this may be, whether sunshine in the city or gray sky, we still we all share in this promise, no matter what shade today. You know, we all live in the world, and whether it's sunshine or grayscale, we all have that promise of a better day, and whether we take that promise on or not is up to us each day. So, and I really like that penultimate stanza. Apart from that first step taken, we are destined to be the journey for ourselves, moving us on into the greatest, all-out, downright, outright depths by degree still, leading up to nowhere, ? Yeah, I thought it was fantastic. What are your thoughts, Weaver?
Yes, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed reading it because it wasn't, dum-de-dum-de-dum, which we sometimes, you know, which we all do. But this is this had a bit more depth to it, in as much as it moved around so much. It wasn't just straight lines. You just had to be sure you were reading correctly. And that I loved because it means, you know, it means it's something that I can bite into and enjoy. And I really did. This was so interesting. Let's face it, what is this life apart from the brilliance itself of opportunity? So, yeah, every day, every single day, you have the opportunity to change things, to better things, to make things different. I liked it. I thought it was very well thought out and beautifully written. So thank you for sharing that with us, anonymously known E1. Over to you, Ray.
Absolutely. Great comment, Weaver. All right, so what do we have next?
And next we have Dereliction of Duty by NCB. Oh, actually, yeah, I thought it was going to be difficult to say. NCB. And if you'd like to give this a read, please, Gray.
Sure. Dereliction of Duty by NCB. We scrape our skies with aspirin grasp, petrified fingers taut as rigor mortis clutch torpid clouds and colorless beseech, pawing through the monotone of morning, for the monoclonal dawn still beyond reach. Crowded in the lead, cower pouting horses, houses, doors gape, dumb, mouths open, and aghast, cracked lips jammed around a hollow wail, ashen faces that flake their death unpainted, lintels bowed, welcome, their welcome frail, primal pinks start sightless windows, broken sallow staring empty sockets, decry tears to wash their miserable view, blinded by shades of uncolored poverty, deafened by the city, by the cry of absent hue, gray headstones, litter skyline, graveyards, eulogies of dust, fall derelict and silent, over neighbors, no more worth the trouble, a grayscale of grief mirrored by the sky, must overlook the ruin and the rubble, and home. Wow, that was deep. And what did you think, Weaver?
Oh, yes, that was deep. By golly, that is, this one talks of an awful lot of misery and wastedness, if that's a word. Blinded by shades of uncolored poverty, deafened by the cry of absent hue, gray headstones, litter skyline, graveyards. Yes, there's an awful lot of people grabbing onto life and unfortunately losing that fight. And I think this is an example of what, you know, what it can feel like. I feel an awful lot of empathy, and it seems to me as if this one was not an easy one to write, but I really enjoyed it. Dereliction of duty. I mean, that says it all, doesn't it? You're left with that feeling of life. So, yeah, NCB, brilliant write. Thank you very much for sharing that with us.
Great comment, Weaver. Yeah, you know, this is pain-filled at its start. It's as bleak as the sky above that city, and as filled with the monotoneness of the picture itself. You know, it really speaks to a sad and sorrowful existence, and the grayscale of grief mirrored by the sky must overlook the ruin and the rubble. I mean, how deep is that? The city can be a bleak and tragic place, no doubt, and I thought this captured the art quite beautifully. So great job, MCB. Thank you for sharing. And yeah, so what do we have next, Lisa?
And coming up next is Gloomy Days by Wayne Jett. And I will give this one a read. Now, you must remember who read last, because you know halfway through I forget what I'm doing. So you've got to keep tabs, okay? Oh, cool. Okay. Confusion in the air, no clear view. Citizens not sure what they should do. Days are gloomy. Future looks bleak. Weatherman says no sun for a week. Nowhere you look can you see a smile. Going to be only depression for a while. No sunrise or sunset, only grey skies. Listen to radio and all of its lies. With one ray of hope, life would be better. Pray to see the light, but only gets wetter. Cloudy or foggy, there's no choice to make. Right or left, doesn't matter. All they do is take. City has turned dim, everybody is full of hate. Won't be no joy till the political crowd dissipates. What we need is blue skies and sun. Listening to all the crap is not any fun. So for now, I think it would be better to stay inside. Promises and promises, but all of them lied. It would be nice if there was a choice. Things just get blurry when I hear their voice. End poem.
Beautiful read, Weaver. And again, this is another one that really captures the essence of the right, where the city is downtrodden and dismayed because of the clouds above it. But, you know, it really took a turn when it said, won't be no joy till the political cloud dissipates. You know, that speaks to a city that's overrun by politics and all of its mess. And, you know, the promises, promises, but all of them lie. It would be nice if there was a choice. Things just get blurry when I hear their voice. Yeah, so many politicians just blur the picture beyond perception. And, you know, it's, I thought it was great. You know, it was an excellent cityscape covered in gray that he painted there. So great job, Lee and Jen. And Mira, what did you think?
Sorry, I mutated for a second there. Get me air quickly. Okay, yes, this was a delight to read. I love this kind of poetry because it's you can tell exactly where we are here. You know, this is, I'm fed up with this. Come on now, where's the sun? And yeah, I understand that weather can make some people feel, you know, bad weather makes them feel bad, gray weather makes them feel gray, snow makes them feel cold. I don't actually react to the weather much at all because I was a biker, and for years you just dressed up in lots of clothes and a little less when it was a bit hotter, you know, that was kind of it. So it didn't really bother me too much. I was out there in the elements anyway. So, but I can understand it can make some people feel pretty awful. So I think this has been portrayed beautifully here by our friend Wayne Jett. He does write that great poem. I must admit, I enjoy his work. Ah, we have someone.
We do. We have caller 704. Hello, area code 704.
Who's
calling, please?
Hi. It's Dottie, Emerging Dot.
Hi, Dottie.
Oh, okay, great.
Hey, new friend.
Hi, my
and
dear.
Hi, Gray.
Hi.
Lovely.
Glad to meet you.
Lovely to hear you.
It's great.
Did you get
to
a chance to hear
what?
Thank you. Did you get a chance to hear the last poem that was read?
Not enough to make any kind of coherent comments on it. I was trying to navigate through the portals of getting to you guys.
Well, you
all
made
right.
It.
Perfect. No worries. Absolutely. So do you need to read right away or can you hang out?
Oh, me? Oh, no, I'm just going to chill for a minute. You guys tell me when I can step in.
Sure. Okay. All right. Weaver, where would you next?
Where we to next? Gets me every time, Gray. Okay, this is Bleeding Gray by Gravity Shade. Now, oh wow! I didn't think this picture was going to bring out an awful lot of bleeding hearts, but Bleeding Gray, wow. Okay, Gray, would you care to read this next poem, please?
Okay, sure. So we have Bleeding Gray by Gravity Shade. Jagged skyline cuts Uranus like glass shards. Cinerous clouds bleed smog on postage stamp yards. Steel obelisks raise pointed heads upon on high. Bleak raindrops fall to earth while all the angels cry. Silence pervades the air in a depressed foggy haze. Industrial furnaces puff out a weary, smoky glaze. Over the city sits a stifling spirit, quite morose. Even gray pigeons can find no rest in their repose. Concrete gargoyles stare vacantly in the day. Stony-faced people pass with not much to say. What else can be felt when only organs play and all the world is tinted in a myriad shades of gray? End poem. Wow. That was quite beautiful. What did you think, Weaver?
Oh, here I am again. Yes. I keep forgetting to unmute. Yes. Oh, my goodness me, yes. I love this one. I hope I'm reading the right one. You know what I'm like. Concrete gargoyles stare vacantly in the day. Stony-faced people pass with not much to say. What else can be felt when only organs play? And all the world is tinted in myriad shades of gray. Oh, my goodness me. Poor guy. That's like, you know, that's not so much fun. Breathing gray, definitely need to get away from that gravity shade. Definitely. It's going to bring you down. Yes, beautifully written and beautifully read. And I enjoyed it. So thank you so much for sharing that with us, Gravity Shade.
Thank you, Weaver. And Emerging Dot, what did you think?
Well, I was afraid you were going to ask that. I've actually been trying to find the poem as you're reading. I'm a visual person, so can I take a pass till the next one?
Okay, sure. We're actually posting the poems into the group Late Night Poets.
I'm looking at
Are
it
you
now.
In that
I finally
group?
Yes. And the next one is Great Sky Above the City. Is that the one you just read?
I think Gravity Shade was the one we just read.
Mm-hmm. I think you're on the actual lineup as opposed to the LNP board, perhaps. Are you seeing them all in a line with people's names beside them, yeah?
I'm going to look. I'm sorry.
Listen, believe me, it's not a problem. I have been fumbling my way through this for about 2 years. So don't worry about it. And I never get it right.
Okay, so I hit Bad Company, and then we go from there. Is that right?
So do you have to vote?
No, it's actually
carry on. Good.
It's in the feed. It's in the feed of the chat.
Oh, okay.
For Late Night Poets.
Oh, okay. Where Gray Eyes said Gravity Shade, excellent. Right. Okay, I'm up
Got
to speed
it.
Now.
Yeah.
Well
Thank
done.
You for Thanks for your patience.
No problem, my
Absolutely.
Dear. Happy. Okay, next one up. The Grey Sky Above the City by GT. And I'll give Dottie a minute to get herself relaxed into the show, and I'll read this one. Okie dokie.
Sounds good.
The Grey Sky Above the City by GT. The city wakes up to a grey painted sky, a backdrop to the hustle and the tension in the concrete forest where ideas may stray as clouds weep softly, creating a gentle rain. Building tower over like giants of steel, casting across the busy streets below, under the monoliths of a metropolitan, hearing honks, beep and sirens blow. Although in the middle of chaos and gloom, the grey sky tells a story of countless tales, reminding all that there is beauty everywhere, even in the most toughened metal beams. As the rain washes away the city's grime, allowing the grey sky to sweep its way in, there is still time to clear secrets in minds within a town of broken pieces to make it whole. End poem.
Fantastic read, Weaver. I really enjoyed the poem, you know. It starts with the city wakes up to a gray painted sky, a backdrop to the hustle and tension in the concrete forest where ideas may stray as clouds weep softly, creating a gentle rain. You know, you can just feel the moroseness in that stanza. You know, it really is dark and stark, and, you know, it sets the tone for the rest of the write. And although in the middle of the chaos and gloom, the gray sky tells the story of countless tales, remaining all that there is beauty everywhere, even in the most toughened metal beams. And, you know, it's definitely a fantastic write. It was a pleasure to hear it read. And thank you for sharing, JK. And Emerging Dot, what did you think?
Oh, hi. It was a lovely poem. I liked when the title itself says the city wakes up. To me, that prepares you. It kind of suggests a sense of new beginnings and and the entire point had such a beautiful flow. It was gentle. It was perfectly just rhythmic. The tone is a very nice balance of realism and optimism within, and through acknowledging the city's hard edges, I guess, there's also beauty and there's a potential for change. I was impressed by the final line that says, within a town of broken pieces, it holds. That is a totally hopeful outlook. And it ends on such an optimistic, beautiful note. And it's kind of a rebirth, renewal. And it's a poem that makes you feel good. And you want to read it again. But very nice work.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment, Dot. And Weaver, what are your thoughts?
I agree wholeheartedly with what has been said before. This has this, yes, we're aware that the sky is not always going to be sunny. And yes, we're in a concrete jungle. But it doesn't mean that there isn't something to look forward to and something to enjoy within that. Until such times, I suppose, the sun shines again. But there's this optimism. And there's also, I love the fact that there is still time to clear secrets in mind within a town of broken pieces to make it whole. You have this opportunity to be a better person, is what is being said, which I love. I think that's a great thing. And very, very sweet as well, actually. So, JT, thank you so much for sharing. It was lovely.
Beautiful comment, Weaver. All right, Weaver, what do we have next?
And next we have, we have Grey City by, don't know who, hang on, Grey City by L.
Later.
Oh, Lito, I see it now. You should see it, yeah. Lito H. Naro, I think it's, I can't pronounce it correctly, but this is Grey City. And Dottie, would you care to give us a read of this one, please?
I would be happy to. Okay. Grey City. Night, dark, fog, fills the sky. No stars or moon in sight. Day comes, yet the sun can't be seen. The sky fills with gray smoke from factories. Tall buildings that pass the clouds are where to look to see the sun. Even if we were to look up from the skyscraper at night, stars won't be out due to the lights below. Busy people walking to get where they need to be, wearing masks to keep themselves healthy and safe. Night sky darker, stars and moon are absent. Gray sky, no surprise, as most places like this. End of poem.
Great read, Dot. And Weaver, what did you think?
Oh, yes, great read. That's your inaugural read, and that's it over with. You can relax now. okay, we've got another one. See, you would think that this grey picture, which was taken by Daniel, he's such a great photographer, you would think that would be nothing but, you know, oh, it's grey. But no, you're getting these little snippets of, what's the word I'm looking for? Positivity? Probably a good enough word. Yes, you can look up at night and you won't see the stars because of the light. I know this. I used to go camping away up in the Highlands and have a campfire. A campfire is a weird thing. You're boiling hot on the front and freezing cold at the back, but it's a lovely experience. But then you see stars. You will not see, you maybe see stars as much, but they are just gorgeous. The whole blooming sky is filled with them. So I can see that you would miss that here in a city. But night sky darker because stars and moon are absent. Grey sky, no surprises. Most places are like this. A little bit down at the end there, which is not, we don't want that. We want you to be happy. Be happy out there, folks. And I thought it was very well written and lovely to listen to. Yeah, I liked it a lot. Thank you so much for sharing that with us, Little.
Excellent comment, Weaver. Yeah, you know, I like the poem. It has so much realness to it. You know, it's the night sky, the dark fills the sky, no stars or moon in sight. Day comes, yet the sun can't be seen. The sky fills with gray smoke from factories. Tall buildings that pass the clouds are where to look to see the sun. Even if we were to look up from a skyscraper at night, stars won't be out due to the lights below. I mean, light pollution is one of the biggest reasons mm-hmm. why so many city dwellers don't see the night sky. You know, so many generations have not seen the night sky in their entire lives, which is hard to fathom because, I mean, I don't know. You know, when I was a kid, it used to get so dark and the sky would just light up with a trillion stars, you know, and you'd watch them shooting to and fro. And, you know, to imagine never seeing that in your entire life is just hard to fathom. And so, yeah, I liked it. I liked it a lot. It was well done and very straightforward and easy to interpret. So great, right, Leo? And your thoughts, Donnie?
Oh, okay. Well, I'll try. So as with the pollution and industrialization is pretty much the scene for this poem, talking about thick smoke from factories, there we see a picture of a city that is choking by pollution. This is a very dire statement about the harshness of the environment. And as you said, Gray, light pollution, wow, that is a biggie. I fortunately live in a place where I can walk out on my back porch and look up and count the stars, unless, of course, it's raining or something worse. But, yeah, it is, like you said, Gray, it is a piece of beauty to be able to look up and see the same stars that our forefathers, our ancestors looked at, Copernicus, Galileo. What would they do in this age of light pollution? I'll get off the high horse now. Let's see. I wrote some notes. It talks of everyone's busy lives. There are people everywhere constantly moving. It's just the way the world is, rushing to work, wearing masks. The whole writing has a sense of urgency, perhaps a forewarning, perhaps a sign to sit up and take notice. I don't know. Did I come across there as seeing too much or too little? But yeah, to me it's a wonderful point, but it does make you think.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly on your comment. You know, it really is a thought-provoking write on the situation of the world today, and these gray skies from factories and night pollution, light pollution robbing us of our ability to see the sky is it's definitely a factor. And like I said, millions and millions of people haven't seen the night sky because they've grown up in the city and that's all they see is the light reflecting off the sky. They don't see any stars. So they actually have, star places where you can go in and view the night sky. And but it's on a screen, you know, which is just a haunting thought for sure. But great comment, Dottie. And where would you next, Weaver?
Okay, next we have The Gray Horizon. And Gray, would you care to read this for us, please?
Sure. The Gray Horizon by Gra. What lies beyond the horizon, when all above is grayness, when nature's cloak is wrapped around us, sheltered from life's abandoned? What sadness can be found in the folds of a crystal sky, when all is revealed for us to see, the mundaneness of life and what it is to be? What comfort may be found when all around is clouded, shrouded from the suffering, the simpering, and the wounded? So let me wake on a morning where the mist clouds the view, when I can no longer see those days, when I would walk alongside you. End poem. Well, what are your thoughts, Dottie?
Wow. Okay. I'm trying to digest here, and I'm looking back. Notes here. It's very powerful. There are several thematic elements, and one that impressed me right away was the uncertainty of the unknown. It ponders, well, what lies beyond the horizon? And I see this as both a literal and metaphorical comment. The question is, well, what happens and what awaits when grayness is lifted? And it mentions comforting grayness, which is kind of an oxymoron. But let's see. There's a repetition of what at the beginning of stanzas, and it creates a unity, I think, of questioning and searching. Let's see. It doesn't, through it all, there are so many questions, and the questions are thought-provoking. However, the poem doesn't provide answers, but it really doesn't need to. It invites the readers to think about it, mull it over, and to learn from those questions. The ending is especially deep because it expresses a hope to stay in the state of a sheltered sort of grief rather than face the pain of some sort of lost relationship. It's a commentary on sadness and becoming complacent, I believe. It delves into facing the unknown, the pain of loss. And through all of this, through all of these things, it may not be extremely joyful, I guess. It's a beautiful poem because it leaves an impression. And as poets, that's what we're supposed to do, leave an impression, make a mark. Very, very well done, I think. And, oh, I forgot to say, okay. I'm sorry, I've got things going on. And I hope that made sense because I have a kitty cat who's trying to steal my shoes.
Well, I thought,
you know, that was a wonderful comment. It was a wonderful comment.
Thank you.
And, yeah, what's your cat's name?
Huh? Cat? Oh, he is Sawyer. Yeah, his name
Sawyer?
Is Sawyer. And he is 15 years old. He is the man of the house.
Wow.
He's a great guy.
Wow. I have a cat at home named Charlotte that's 19 years old.
Oh, wow. Well, yeah.
And she's the queen of the house.
That's the way that goes. A cat owns you. You don't own the cat. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. All right, so back to the poem here. You know, I liked it. I liked the question. You know, what lies beyond the horizon when all above is grayness, when nature's cloak is wrapped around us, sheltered from all life's abandoned? You know, what sadness can be found in the folds of a crystal sky? You know, when all is revealed for us to see the mundaneness of life and what it's to be. You know, there's a stark beauty to this poem that resonates throughout the write. And I really like that penultimate stanza where it says, "So let me wake on a morning where the mist clouds the view, when I can no longer see those days when I would walk alongside you." You know, it speaks to the loss of a relationship and not wanting to see the past. So I thought it was wonderful. And what are your thoughts, Eva?
Yes, I agree. Beautifully written and full of pathos and hurt, obviously. But I liked the part. I don't know how you can say you like a piece of poetry that's this deep and has a sadness to it. But I suppose we have to say, you can't say you hate it. You say you like it. You know, I mean, I hate your poetry because it's so damn unhappy. Because it's not. It's great that he can get that across. It's wonderful that he has a place where he can get all of this kind of wounded stuff out, if it is true. And if it's fiction, very well written. And if it's true, I'm very, very sorry. But I can imagine what it must be like, having lost quite a few people. So let me wake on a morning where the mist clouds the view, when I can no longer see those days when I would walk alongside you. That is so, so sad. And so well written. So thank you very much for sharing that with us, Grup. I liked it a lot.
Excellent comment, Weaver. All right, where are we to next, Weaver?
And next we have The View from the Window. I like this handle. By My New Profile. That's so cool. My New Profile. Cool. Okay, I'll read this one. This is The View from the Window. The view from the window is grey on this rainy day. The sky could not be duller if they tried. The clouds closer. I open the window and the mist pounces in like a fog cat chased by the weather from its favourite tree. The city disappears like a prey in his mouth and nothing is left to be seen, except for the mysterious contours of silver spires, a glint of steel, claws clinging to the horizon. Water-like fur spreads on the windowsill, sparkles a playful light to dispel the gloom. I can't resist. My hand reaches past the window into the soft ether of this morning's dream. With my bare hands, I stroke the mist and make a wish. End poem. Wow. Cool.
Fantastic read, Weaver. And I enjoyed the poem. It brings the dullness into a brightness that you can actually reach out and touch, which I liked, you know. I like that it has water like fur spreads on the windowsill, sparkles in a playful light to dispel the gloom. I can't resist, my hand reaches out past the window into the soft ether of this morning's dream. With my bare hands, I stroke the mist and make a wish. You know, I like that thought of making a wish upon mist. It's definitely deep and ethereal. So excellent write and a fantastic read, Weaver. And Dottie, what did you think?
It was a pretty poem. It's just lovely, full of images, well written. There are so many strong verbs. The language is so descriptive. It paints a really clear picture of the scene. And you could almost, it's very sensory. There is the visual and tactile. You feel the damp mist yourself, and you can nearly see that city just fade away. Like you, Rex, enjoyed the terms water-like fur. Similes, the other one, what was it? The mist pounces in like a fog cat. Now, I don't know what a fog cat is, but I am here to say that it's probably something really cool. But there is a note of whimsy, and the personification is absolutely great. As an artist, I really like a poem that points out to me, that shows me a picture, that paints a picture for me before my very eyes. I think that is one of the most exciting things about poetry. Let's see. It is it's a poem about a very short length of time and a simple scene. The language is playful and enjoyable. And the whole thing is just weaves a tapestry of wonder and possibility. And even in the middle of our everyday existence, it tells us that there's room for magic and even the connection to something that is greater than we are. It's extremely well written, as I said, a pretty poem, one that I could read again and again and never get tired. And it has me all the elements of a very, very nice write. And I appreciate the author for that.
Wonderful comment. You know, you're fabulous at commenting, so thank you for that.
Oh.
And Weaver, what are your thoughts?
Oh, yes, you are, by the way, Dottie. We're very pleased to have you with us, because I love to hear somebody making the comments that I would wish I had made, but I'll just copy.
Oh, you're doing that. You both are good for me.
Yeah. No, I'm not any good at this, but I do my little best. But I did enjoy that. I enjoyed that a lot. I, like you, loved the difference this to other pieces of poetry we've heard tonight, because it painted that picture for us. I loved "I opened the window and the mist pounces in like a fog cat chased by the weather," because I'm reading this and I'm going, what? What am I reading? Okay, and then I got it, you know, by the weather from it. Oh, I got it now, yeah. I love that aspect of it. And because Gray will know this, but I don't actually read any of the poetry before I come on the show. I like to be surprised by what I'm reading. And sometimes it's a good thing, and sometimes it's a really bad thing. But this time, it was a fun thing, so I really enjoyed it. I thought this was so clever. I love the movement. I love the descriptions, claws clinging to the horizon. Oh, I mean, really beautifully done. I just think that I envy that kind of ability. I really do. It's just a wow. So very well done. Thank you very much for sharing that with my new profile. I love your name. My new profile.
Absolutely. Wonderful comments, everyone, and a great read, Weaver. And where are you next, Weaver?
And next we have "This Is Your Early Morning Call" by Razaleef. And Dottie, would you care to get this one a read for us, please?
That sounds like fun. All right. Let me grab it here. See it. Okay. "This is your early morning call. The sky compresses, tower blocks, reaching up to the gray, the color washed with too much water. His brush won't paint today. Scrubbing nylon buses, scratch the backs of rain-soaked trees, rubbish crushed by talking trucks, reverse away a day of waste, quiet cues that crave chai latte, commune on phones with robot thumbs, wired heads are sealed by force fields in the morning dead, the shelter tells its guests to go, slow limbs dress out of place and trace the steps they've come to know, handed out with backstreet grace. Styles hang without conclusion, collars fold against the old. Traffic feels like grain to silos until the volume stems the flow. Moving faster, watched by time, tunnels belch the crowds in lines. Non-stop feet reveal the smart, the tough, the pushy, stronger, harder stuff. The map readers, the pigeon feeders, the lunchtime sitters, the park keep fitters. The slightly mad, the latest fads, the bus riders without a seat, all proud move to the city's beat." End of poem.
Fantastic read, Dottie. And I really enjoyed the rite. You know, it really paints the morning of a city, you know, in its hustle and bustle. Scrubbing nylon brushes scratch the back of rain-soaked streets, rubbish crushed by talking trucks reverse away in a day of waste. You know, you can picture that street sweeper and those nylon brushes sweeping away as the trucks beep and, you know, make their reversing sounds. But, you know, and it sweeps away the waste of the day. And I thought that was quite interesting, you know. And then the shelter tells its guests to go, settle in, stress out of place, and trace the steps they'd come to know, handed out with backstreet grace. To me, that speaks of homeless people making their way back into the streets for the day while the shelter resets itself and waits for the next flow of homeless to come in. The city is a hustling and bustling place all the time, and especially in the morning. But I really enjoyed the map readers, the pigeon feeders, the lunchtime sitters, the park geek bitters, the slightly mad and the latest fads, the bus riders without a seat, all probably new to the city's beat. Yeah, I thought it was great, a great statement on city life, great rousery, and excellent read, Dottie. And Weaver, what did you think?
Yes, this was very good. I liked this a lot. Sky compresses tower blocks reaching up into the grey. Yeah, I mean, this is telling me exactly what it must feel like to wake up in the city and get yourself up and out and doing your job or doing what you have to do. And I love that the stars hang without conclusion, collars fold against the old. Traffic flows like grains to silos until the volume stems the flow. You can imagine. I mean, I went to London a few times, and I wanted to live there, and I was told no, because you couldn't stand the noise and the dirt. And it's very true, because I live in a very quiet place with nothing but trees and ponds and swans and stuff. So no, I probably couldn't. But I love the movement of the place. I love the shops, and nobody looked at each other. You know, I smiled at people and they backed away. Which I'm not surprised that, really. I'm the slightly mad one in this piece of poetry. But yeah, it was a different way of life to be entirely. And I just thought the beat of the city was so provocative. But I am in this backwater, so I'm all right. I'm doing well. It's quiet here. So yes, I felt every beat of that morning. I felt every footstep of those people. And I even thought about getting one of those weird tasting coffees, but I decided not to. I'll just have my Coke instead. Coca-Cola, not Coke. Coca-Cola, yeah. So yeah, beautifully done. Thank you, Rosalie. That was wonderfully done, and thank you for sharing it.
Yeah. Great comment, Weaver. And Dottie, what are your thoughts?
Okay, I'm still laughing at Weaver. She's she just kind of tickles me. She has a great sense of humor. All right, and I have noticed that every poem that's been read has the word gray. Now, let me ask you guys, is this a contest about a gray city or a gray photograph?
Yes, it's about a grayscale city.
Okay. Well, you know,
the grayscale of the sky and city.
Or if it was promoting, you know, gray cloud. Just kidding. All right. Gosh, now I'm getting off track here. Okay. Bustling city under that dull gray sky. It is a rather bit of a slice of life, I think. Daily routines, from cleaning the streets to commutes. People are riveted to technology, and there's a sense of being isolated despite all of the mix of these diverse characters. There's a bit of an impersonal tone, I think. And the poem ends with a shared rhythm and a pride in being part of this city's energy. There are other things that are especially lovely, and I wrote them down. Okay. I'm sorry. Y'all bear with me. I'm new at this.
No problem.
The final line, all proudly moved to the city's beat. And as I said before, it is a sense of pride and resilience in belonging to this urban jungle and being a constant part of its makeup. There's an awful lot of room for interpretation. I think you can find almost any kind of meaning for this poem. It is a tapestry of diversity, and isn't that what big towns, cities are like? I like this poem. It has short lines. It has a feel of fast-paced sort of rhythm, which is definitely a sign of city movement. There's a mix of a bit of internal rhyme. Gray today was one, and Forest Fields, Morning Dead. The repetition is nice, and it creates, to me, a sense of unity between the people who live there and the rather disparate elements of the city itself. Okay, y'all, that's all my brain can do right now. But it was beautiful. I enjoyed the read. Nice read, by the way.
Excellent comment. Thank you so much. Lieber, sorry, did you get a comment on this yet?
I honestly don't know. Oh, look, just be grateful that I'm getting the pieces of poetry where they should be. I don't think I did. Maybe I did.
I don't remember now.
I think you must have.
Okay. Well, all I can say is I really enjoyed it. I thought good heavens, it just gave you everything you need to know about what it must feel like to be in a big city in the beginning of a day and the day moving on and all the lunchtime sitters and the parkkeep fitters, and I'm probably reading the wrong piece of poetry, the slightly mad, the latest fad, the bus riders without seats. Very well done. I liked it. There was an awful lot to this that I really enjoyed. It tells you everything about the place itself, but it also had this little tongue-in-cheek kind of feel to it that I enjoyed a lot. You know, people who wanted the coffee and couldn't do anything else but be on their phones with their robot thumbs. That is life now as we know it. Well, life as you know it. My life is not like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, brilliantly done, and I really enjoyed it. I thought it was very well written. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Excellent comment, Weaver. Thank you so much. And what would you next?
And next up is Bid You by Cornelius Bourdain. Oh, that's a fabulous name. Cornelius Bourdain.
Great
okay.
title.
Hearing voices.
Oh, I said it was a great title.
Oh, yeah. Oh, was it? Yes. Oh, Did You? Yes, of course. Now, who read last? I have no idea. Gray, have you read recently, Gray? Help!
No, I haven't.
I didn't think so. I keep forgetting to write down beside your name. So here we go. Over to you, my dear.
Okay, so we have Did You by Cornelius Bourdain. You see, nature grinds its drift along, whatever the wind decides, in palettes of gray, or shadowed by rays of sun. Makes us dreary, makes you think. Where is it I stand? what is it I feel? To pray that the gray in unsaid words may step down, may alter, for times of colored sheets to come, of awakening an unseen city and precious moments of better times for you and me and poem. And Weaver, what did you think?
Well, did you? The burning question. Pray that the gray and unsaid step down may alter for times of colored sheets to come in precious moments of better times for you and me. Okay, this is a plea. This is from the heart. Nature's blankets drift along, whatever the wind decides, in palest of grey or shadowed by rays of sun. So yeah, this is basically telling us that we may think we have free will, but you don't, because you have to respond to other people. You have to respond to the things in life that you need to do. Whether you decide to do them or not is totally up to yourself, of course. But most people will try and do the right thing. So awakening an unseen city in precious moments of better times for you and me. Cornelius, mm-hmm. That was very well written. Thank you so much. I could see a lot of thought and a lot of you went into this. So thank you for sharing it.
Great comment, Lila. And Dottie, what did you think?
Thank you for calling me Dottie. so many people do just call me Dot, but it just sounds like an abbreviation. So, okay. This poem, there's a focus on unspoken desires, phrases like unsaid words, what is it I feel, introspective. It allows the reader to connect with some sort of prayer, a mantra, some sort of hope for a brighter future. It's beautiful and hopeful. And I love the of gray clouds floating like, drifting like blankets. As a representation of the current dull and inspired mood, it questions location and emotions of the speaker who longs for a change away from this dank grayness. The final lines are perfect. It is a silent prayer for brighter days with rainbow-like colors, a sense of renewal, for both the writer and for the listener. In fact, I guess for humanity, all wrapped up into one. It ends beautifully, and it starts beautifully. And the middle part's beautiful. And enough to say, do you think I like it? Yeah, I like it. It's a great point.
Excellent comment, Doug. And Weaver, what are your thoughts?
Yes, excellent. Excellent comment, Dottie. I enjoyed it. I thought I'd already spoken about this one. Probably not. Honestly, things, it's an age thing. You just have to put up with me. I get worse. Anyway, it may step down, may alter for times of colour sheets to come of awakening an unseen city in precious moments of better times for you and me. That's, I love the fact that we have, no matter if it is grey and the wind is moving things around and everything is shadowed and it might be a bit dreary, at the very end we have this optimism, we have this, there will be better times. We know there will. And yeah, if you wait for long enough, there probably will be. Hope sooner rather than later, but you know, that's cool. And I liked it. I really enjoyed it. Cornelius, and I love your name, Cornelius Berlin. So thank you for sharing.
Excellent comment, Weaver and Dottie. But you know, I enjoyed the write. I like the hopefulness in it. To pray that the gray in unsaid words may step down, may alter for times of colored sheets to come, of awakening in unseen cities, in precious moments for better times, a better time for you and me. You know, that's definitely a hopeful, bright outlook on a great, dreary day. So thank you for sharing, Cornelius Verdun. And, yeah, where are we to next, Viva?
Oh, lost my mute button. I'm back. Okay, yes. Sorry about that. The next one up is... It was probably me cussing the cat. No, I don't think so. It sounded like Dottie as though somebody was moving around in water, dragging something behind them. I don't even know if that's possible, but that's what it sounded like. But it's gone now, thank goodness. It kind of interferes with you.
I may have drowned the cat. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, I'm saying nothing. I'm a dog person. That would not be nice.
No, not this. This one's my baby.
I have nothing against cats. Both my daughters have got cats. So, you know, I just put up with it. But I love dogs. But that's only a slight thing. I also love cats as long as they're not near me. Not a bad thing at all. Yeah. Right, so next we have Grey Flight of Dawn by Paul D. Fisher. Oh, PhD. Oh, aren't we impressed, Mr. Fisher? Wonderfully done.
Oh, God. Kill me.
it's got to be fun. Otherwise, I'm going to shoot myself. Well, this is Grey Flight of Dawn, and I will give this one a read. She's now been sitting about doing nothing. Okay. Ah, dear, I'm having so much fun. Okay. Seeing a distant cityscape from Chopper High and closing takes me back to flights all over the world. In the days I was young and in uniform, I often saw the world through an aircraft window, nights or grey AM haze a swirl. I recall Special Ops air assault out of Campbell. Troops were sometimes AM buzzed out or hungover, ready to hurl. When I doze off now and awaken to a jolt, I catch myself wondering if that was ground fire or dodging a tracer curl. But then I realise when and where I am. I see I'm in a comfy seat by a pretty girl back in the first world. Americans usually don't know quite how lucky and pampered they actually are. Hello, pretty girl. End poem.
Fantastic read, Wheeler. And I enjoyed the poem. You know, when somebody comes through a life of war and the carnage that brings, you know, to wake up in a to awaken wondering if that was ground fire or dodging a tracer curl, you know, that's definitely horrific. But then I realized where I am, and I see I'm in the comfy seat by a pretty girl back in the first world. Americans usually don't know how quite lucky and pampered they actually are. Hello, pretty girl. I thought it was wonderful. It really takes you into his world and the things he's experienced, and he shares that with you and puts you in that seat beside him as he wakes up. So I thought it was fantastic. Paul D. Fisher, PhD. Excellent write and a fantastic read, Weaver. And Dottie, what did you think?
It was short and sweet, but very powerful. There was a great contrast between the military experience of the poet and the present civilian life. It starts with that nostalgic cityscape image. It triggers memories of this poet's time in war time, flashbacks, pre-dawn flights and troop deployments. However, there's a comfortable seat beside a pretty girl now. It highlights a speaker's return to the civilized, a privileged life, I suppose. And there, the end is a bittersweet observation. American comfort compared to the harsh realities of wartime and the difficulties. And it is pretty much a quandary, I'd say, a call to readers to look and consider what's good now is possibly due to what was bad for many years back. And I think more people do need to stop and pause and realize how good it is and how grateful you need to be to the people who put the time and effort and lives, actually, into making the world a little bit better place. So that's it.
Fantastic comment, Dottie, and I agree wholeheartedly. Wake up, world. You know, smell the coffee and enjoy it. All right, Weaver, what did you think?
Yes, I have to admit, I think war should have stopped by now. Surely we're going to evolve to the point where, you know, power and money isn't everything in life. When I think about the two world wars and the poor people whose lives were lost, the First World War, they were going over the trenches and into no man's land, facing gunfire and everything else that came with it. And that was what they were, cannon fodder. And it's sickening. It really is. That's something that really makes me angry. They took the best. They took the brightest. The people who were, you know, two left foot or skinny and had asthma, you know, they were left. But the fittest and the best, again, were lost to us. So our gene pool got muddied. That, as I say, that's just a point of view of mine, and probably nobody else thinks of things that way. But I just think there must be a better way. I don't know what. But, that, you know, we can't just keep on killing each other for the sake of a dollar or a pound note or whatever it happens to be, or have the power to say you're going to live or you're going to die or you're going to get money enough to live on. No, not good enough. It's got to be a better world. I am glad I am old. That's all I'm going to say on the matter. Thank goodness I haven't got much longer, because it's a boring life. But this is very well done and brings our thoughts back to what we should be thinking about, which is don't fight with each other, for goodness sake. You know, let us be nice to each other. Give somebody a hug. And I hope that happens. I may come back and haunt you all if it doesn't. That's all I'm going to say. Thank you. Thank you, Paul.
Right. Absolutely. Good comment, Weaver. And what do we have next?
And next we have Taken by Lafayette. I would say Lafayette. And Gray, would you care to read this for us, please?
Sure. All right, so we have Taken by Lafayette. Rolled my head, lifted my chin. Silver atmosphere reaches, extending a hand. My arms, legs numb, unmoving, so long. Heart grass dew, worked into my shirt. Lives below the skyline, tidy, unmoved, absorbing all bland. What time is it? Me, for one, should be gone. Ejected lungs, all spew poison. Focus my eyes, see past thin. How many grays can coexist in a world so span? Damage is done by all and fewsome. All lines so straight, but fragile thin. Only rare air can spot the changing sky. Gray, alive, tagged, as all the exotic swallows invasive. Pretense of lization, exhausted, ka-thump, ka-thump, sagged, elevate, and foam. And what are your thoughts, Weaver? It says in a doctor's notes, suicide in the park overlooking the city.
Oh, heavy, heavy. This is very well written. I love this. This is basically, it seems to be written from the point of view of the person who is committing suicide. That possibly could be right. Would that be right? Looks like it. Lies below skyline, tidy, unmoved, absorbing all bland. What time is it? For me, for one, should be gone. Ejected lungs all spew poison. Focus my eyes, see past spin. That is very, very evocative. That is very, it paints a picture that you wouldn't really want to think about for too long. Somebody in that kind of dire straits. Wow. And the ending, perfectly wonderful. Ka-thump, ka-thump, sagged. Elevate. Wow. I like this a lot. So powerful. But my favorite line. Silver atmosphere reaches, extending a hand. That's... Mm-hmm. So you're wondering, silver atmosphere reaches, is that the go into the light kind of moment? Who knows? Obviously the poet does. But I liked it. Thank you very much, Lafayette. It was very well written.
A great comment, Weaver. And Dottie, what did you say?
Oh, I'm still writing notes. Is it time for the exam?
You get marked later.
yeah. Like you said, it's powerful. It's disturbing. And yes, it may be something about suicide, but I first thought that it may be a point of view of an aftermath, some sort of major disaster. Phrases like rolled my head implied some sort of terrible act. Numb limbs, and then it ends with ka-thump, ka-thump. I'm wondering if that's like a severed limb. I don't know. There are so many different ways you can go with this. And the word at the very end, elevate, to me is very ambiguous. It doesn't really specify the nature of the disaster or the event that is so riveting in this poem. It could be some sort of call to action or a plea to help, a prayer. Maybe just a hopeless sort of stance. It's unsettling, and it actually forces you to sit up and notice and think about the fragile world we live in. And I believe that the word fragile was used at least once in this poem, The potential consequences of neglect, man's neglect, of ignoring major issues like environmental protection or social stability. It is a poem to gently shame and to make a really, really huge point. And I want to say I like this poem. I do. I appreciate every single word, but it is, as I said, it's very unsettling, which is, isn't that what art's about, to evoke an emotion? If it does not evoke an emotion, both visual art and written art is just for naught. So I would say that, you know, that this ex-school teacher would give this an A+ for its heart and the meaning and how it's executed. It is. It'll stay with me. Great, great poem.
Wonderful comment. Thank you so much. And yeah, you know, I found the poem heart wrenching. You know, you can feel the pain in this and the lostness of, you know, the person in the lake, you know. How many graves can still exist in a world so span? Damage is done by all and few some. A line so straight but fragile, thin. Only rare air can spot the changing sky, gray alive, tagged, as all the toxic swallows, invasive, pretense, civilization exhausted. kathump, sag, elevate. Yeah, it's very heart-wrenching, right? You know, you can feel the pain and the disparity in the words, which is palpable for sure. A great write. Thank you so much for sharing, Afia. And Weaver, what do you have next?
I have me trying to find the button. There we are. Got it. This is next coming up is Stormy Smile by Chastity Hebner. And Dottie, could you get this one a read for us, please?
I would be happy to. Okay. Stormy Smile. Lightning strikes heart. As my storm builds within, it sometimes strikes twice to remind me once again that no one is there. Torrents of God, they can't wash away pain. They just fill up with salt. My body like a well, catching the tears I don't cry. All the while I smile on the outside, my stormy facade for all the world. My storm rages, my tears fall. My heart hurts, but I just smile. End of poem.
Well, beautiful read, Dottie. And, you know, I really like the imagery in this, right? And you can see everything clearly in your head, like a painting. It has a beautiful flow to it. But, you know, I like the way that she personifies the clouds and the grayness and takes them on to her own personality. My stormy facade to the world, my storm rages, my tears fall, my heart hurts, but I just smile. Yeah, haunting and beautiful at the same time. So thank you for sharing, Cassidy. And Weaver, what did you think?
Oh, yes, I agree. This is, you hear that last line, or the penultimate line and the last line. My storm rages, my tears fall, my heart hurts, but I just smile. There are so many people. I mean, this is why I wish we actually had telepathy, because we would know how people feel. You can't tell most of the time how people are feeling unless they tell you. And sometimes people don't tell you, so you never know that they're not right, they're not happy or whatever. But this is just Stormy Smile. What a wonderful title. Lightning strikes my heart as my storm builds within. That's powerful stuff. Powerful. And yeah, very well written. The torrents of rain fall inside, they can't wash away pain. They just fill up sorrow. Oh my goodness me. Yep, I really thought this was very well written, Chastity. I really enjoyed it. You kind of hit me in the heart, and I didn't think I still had one. So very well done.
No.
yeah, I'm afraid it's true. But yes, I loved it. Thank you for sharing, Chastity. I love your name.
A wonderful comment. Thank you, Weaver. And Dottie, what did you think?
Well, this poem pretty much packs a punch. As Weaver said about telepathy, wouldn't it be nice if you did know what people. And this brings to mind that we probably all should be like dogs and just go sniff, find out how they're feeling or if they'd be a good friend or are they happy or sad. But it doesn't work like that. You know, in a perfect world, maybe we should all be dogs. But anyway, so there is an overt type of cover up in this poem, covering your emotion, yet bearing your soul at the same time. My heart hurts, but I smile. There is a lot of emotion that is buried underneath the surface. It's a melancholy, sad, but impactful, right? Chastity, you have done a lovely job here, and I think I'm going to read it again because it is just that kind of poem to read twice, and like lightning. You mentioned maybe light. Let's see, where am I? Sometimes lightning strikes twice. They say it never strikes twice. So that in itself points to a sense of destiny, maybe. Small fact, my dad was struck by lightning when he was a young man, and he was actually struck again in his living room when he was in a lounge chair. I saw the lightning come in and break the window behind the TV.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was something. But anyway, it does strike twice, and we all have hope in that fact. So, okay, I'm starting to ramble. I think my brain is dissolved, y'all. Hang with me. It gets more stupid as I go along.
You're in the right place. You're in the right place. And I'm the one who rambles on. You can just you speak succinctly. I ramble. That's the difference. Very well done. Very well said.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Great comment. And I'm sorry about your father being struck twice by lightning. That's crazy.
Well, he was quite the man. He actually had MS at the time that he was hit the second time. And quite a story. I'm going to write a book about him one day. Good guy.
Yeah, no kidding. Wow, amazing. Incredible. All right, so we were supposed to have a SoundCloud for this one, Weaver, which we don't. So I think we'll leave this till the end. If we need it, then we'll read it, but otherwise we won't.
Yeah, no problem, my dear.
Okay.
So we'll have... Da-da-da-da. I'll be there in a moment. Just sing amongst yourselves.
Okay, I'll just double check. There's no SoundCloud, no.
Okay. That's all right. We've got this under control. If you believe that, you could platfog.
Yeah.
Is that a saying? I don't know. I probably made it up. Okay. Okay, we have. Oh, yes. A nice short title. I like it. It was. Oh, woman, get a grip. Okay. It was. I'm having fun. I don't know about the rest of you. It was by Albin Baru. And I will read this one. I'm sorry, Albin, but I'm going to read this one. So buckle up. Buckle up. It should be a bumpy ride. Ah, my. I love a Saturday night, even though I'm going nowhere. Okay. It was. Of old, a grey photo exists. It was clear, sharp, visible borders and all, when the youth was embracing my eyes. Sharpness, married passing years of limping body mine. Fog shaped it in grey, all I see now of photograph. Photo is old, and somehow I am older than it. End poem.
Wow.
Beautiful read, Weaver. And what are your thoughts, Dottie?
A lot. They're just bumping around like crazy. It's funny that I mentioned my dad, but there are words here that made me think of him. Sharpness, marred passing years of limping body. Because in his later years, that's pretty much what a vital, healthy man turned into, and so much power in this photo is old. You're looking back at your youth, and this is how it was. This is when things were great, and somehow I'm older than the photo. It's kind of like time travel on steroids. I don't know, but it's sad, and it's very valid. It's, I don't know. There we go again. Very dark. And I don't see a whole lot of answers. Not that it needs it. It's just a strong comment. And I don't know. I'm curious to hear what both of you think. I think it kind of hit me in the gut. So you guys, I look forward to your interpretation.
That's
fantastic comment. Thank you. And, you know, I got out of it is that life is fleeting and, you know, live it. Otherwise, you're going to lose it because that's what happens. So many people wait to live their life thinking, okay, well, tomorrow I'll do this or tomorrow I'll do that or, you know, next year I'll be here or there. But they never really go anywhere. They just kind of sit where they are and life just passes by. And then somehow suddenly they're old and they're older than everything around them. So, you know, it's very bleak and dark. You know, I thought it was fantastic, though. It was well written and well read as well. So awesome.
Yeah.
And Weaver, what did you think?
I liked the ending stanza. I'm honing on that a lot because for me, that last stanza generally, even if you don't mean to, generally brings the whole story together and gives you a sort of a tie-up at the end, which I've always enjoyed that. You get to the end, you think, oh, how am I going to end this? And that is the part that I like. Photo is old, and somehow I am older than it. And there you are. Nowhere through this did you think that this person was thinking along those lines. We were basically talking about youth and, you know, how clear and sharp and everything was, looking through the eyes of youth. And then you got married and then maybe you got older and then you get to that last stanza and it tells you everything. Here is somebody who has lived their life and perhaps not lived their life the way they wanted to because, you know, they have got older. And I honestly believe that if you're happy within yourself, it shows in your face and in your eyes. And if you're not, then it also is very clear to people that you're not as happy as you're trying to appear to be. But yeah, I can see that. I am older than it. I keep all the photographs of my family. I'm the person who looks after all the old photographs in black and white and the old films that are silent movies. And I love it. You know, I just go, I'm the only person you'll ever meet, I think, who likes other people's photographs. But I do. I love it because it tells so much of a story. Your face is caught for those few seconds, and if you're like me, you just go in and delete them all. But that's what I do. You can't do that as easily with photographs. You've got to keep them forever. So yes, I thought it was very well written.
Yeah.
But that last stanza, I did find that quite sad. That you feel like that. I hope you don't feel like that because that's too sad. But wonderfully written. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Wonderful comment, Weaver. Thank you so much. All right. Where are we to next, Weaver?
Yes, exactly. I was so caught up in listening to myself talking. I forgot to do my job. Okay, we have. Oh, number two. Really? Number two by Tallulah Ho. And Dottie, could you read this for us, please?
I will be happy to. All right. The title, 2023-2020, number two, A Cityscape. Wait a minute. I don't know what happened. I can't blame the cat this time, but let me start again. Okay.
Oh, dear. Okay.
A cityscape exponentially widened, plum paling into a Stefan Mantilla won as February nimbus night ambulating and unbosoming a smog soused oh God, y'all. Somebody help rescue me.
Panorama.
Panorama. Okay, there's a new one. I'm sorry. Okay, I'm going to start over, and I'm going to keep it together, y'all. Is that okay?
Of course.
Yeah.
Cityscape exponentially widened, plum paling into a chiffon mantilla, wan as February, nimbus night ameliorating, unbosoming, a smog-soused panorama of antiquity, old, aseptic modern factories and austere 70s tower blocks, monotonous on the erections, arcing out a gray council skyline with hard geometry. My mom, with repercussed in the Stygian window glass as I contemplate the retracting lunar pill. End of poem.
Well, that was a fabulous read. And
I'm going
to. And Weaver, what did you say? Sorry, what did you say?
Who?
Oh, right. Dottie, what was it you were saying? You said something.
I just said I'm just going to go eat dirt now.
Look up some- honestly, do not worry. I have such trouble sometimes because there are words that my mouth will not pronounce. I don't know what it is, but there are certain words that I just can't say properly. And so I just go, sorry, I can't say that, and I carry on. But they got used to me by now. So don't worry about it. Do not worry.
Yeah.
It could- okay. So what am I doing? Am I commenting thing? Yes, I am. Am I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. Keep me on a straight and narrow, folks. I think I'm starting to go down the hill too quickly.
That's what I'm going to be on, straight and narrow.
Yeah. Serious face. Good. I can do this. This smog. I mean, the wordage. I don't even know if wordage is a word, but the wordage is.
There are so many. So many unusual words so close together, it just, I don't know, it tore me out of my frame. I'm sorry.
Not at all, my dear. I couldn't have done it. I would have been stumbling everywhere. I'm not even going to try. I can get Nimbus. I'm okay with Nimbus and February.
I got Nimbus. Yeah. And direct. I had that one.
Yeah. So we're doing okay. No, I love it when people use words that I don't understand because, A, it shows how dumb I am. On air, and B,
no.
And B, you learn another word, which, you know, cannot be a bad thing. Yes, this was very well written. I do, as I say, this was somebody who decided they were going to give this their all, and in there with 2 feet and 2 hands, and enjoyed every moment of it. I bet they read it over thinking, yeah, that's pretty good. I like that. That's so cool. But, I mean, hang on. A smog south panorama. I thought south was drunk. A smog drunk panorama. No, maybe not. Oh, my goodness me. I love it. I love it. I love the sheer devilment of it. The fact that somebody, I will write this, and it's mine. I love that. I would love to be that brave. And yes, as I contemplate the retracting lunar pill. Okay, okay, you're going to get back to me. Tallulah, get back to me and tell me immediately what a retracting lunar pill is. Inquiring minds need to know. Ah, oh, wonderful. Mm. Wonderfully done. Thank you so much, Tallulah. We really enjoyed your sharing.
Excellent comment, Weaver. And I really enjoyed the imagery in this. You know, she has fantastic imagery. I mean, her wording is... it's definitely thought-provoking. A cityscape exponentially widens from paling into chiffon mantilla, wan as February nimbus, ameliorating, unblossoming. Sorry, I have to Google ameliorating. To make something bad or unsatisfactory, the reform did much to ameliorate living standards. So that's what that means. But unbosoming a smog south panorama of antiquity and cold, aseptic modernism, factories and austere 70s tower blocks, monotonous. And I have to Google Tommy.
Me too.
I don't know. It's coming up with chips. So, but anyway. you know, I liked it. It was definitely a thought-provoking, right? And then, you know, my mom, docile twin, is repercussed in the Stygian window glass as I contemplate the retracting lunar pill, you know. To me, the retracting lunar pill has only got to be the moon. that's the only thing I can think of for that. So I thought it was a fantastic thought-provoking, right? And, what did you think, Dottie?
Okay, I'm taking a deep breath. I'm going to try to do this. All right. I was so distracted by words that are so out there, like Stygian. Well, I looked it up already. That means of or pertaining to the Styx River. Okay, that's good. Ombi, it looked like chips when I looked that up. But I think maybe it meant tomboy, possibly, like a girl or woman who has masculine traits. While I'm still kind of reeling from my major fail with two very fine commenters, we're just going to leave it there, and I'm going to look up more words. Hopefully be smart for it and end game here.
You're doing wonderfully.
And Weaver, you had me laughing so hard, I think I woke the neighborhood.
I'm so sorry. I tried to be serious, but oh my goodness, I have so much trouble doing it. I find humor in most things. Poor Gray has to put up with me every week. Can imagine? The poor chap's got his head out the window. He's going, give me some air. That's funny.
Yeah.
I probably should have used veto,
no.
Right? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to embarrass you guys. Okay. Forgive me.
No, it's all good.
Okay. All right.
All right. Where are you next?
And now we have Ben Hart. We like Ben Hart. We like everybody, but we like Ben Hart. I'm trying to send it. Bear with me. It's not going. Go, you. There we are. A Grey Daydream by Ben Hart. And Grey Eyes, would you give us this one, please? Give us your grey.
Sure. You bet. A Grey Daydream by Ben Hart. And that's a fantastic picture he has up. She looks naked, one veiled in oceans exhaling. The architect's prayer to the sky, frozen in the breathless moment of reaching out. A claustrophobe's ballet of petrified silhouettes. But even giants can be lost children, can be blinked away like a raindrop from the passenger window of whatever bullet we let ricochet us home. Because to them, on the freeway, this is a snow globe. All they will remember of these towers, these glass flowers, on our graves is a woman painting herself out of a gray daydream, reaching back. End poem. And Weaver, what did you think?
Well, this is a lovely one from our Ben. A gray daydream. He's gone a different way. Oh, that is just lovely. I mean, but even giants can be lost children, can be blinked away like a raindrop from the passenger window of whatever bullet we let ricochet us home. Now, that's lovely. I mean, it's not whatever car we decide to take or whatever train we decide to get on. It's whatever bullet will let ricochet us home. That's very, very clever. The man's a genius with words. I love it. Because to them on the freeway, this is a snow globe. Oh, that's dangerous. And then again, we have that wonderful last couple of lines. Is a woman painting herself out of a grey daydream, reaching back. Oh, you can never go back, I'm afraid. Never happen. You just have to think of what you might have done and feel miserable for the rest of your life. That's the way it goes. But not this one, of course. This is somebody who's going to get somewhere because they're realizing that they have to make changes, I suppose. But I thought it was wonderful, as ever. Ben's poetry is deep, and that is always good to read. So thank you for sharing that with us.
Great comment, Weaver. Thank you so much. And Dottie, what did you think?
Oh, okay. I actually love this. It reminds me of Marc Chagall's painting. The wordage is abstract combinations, which seem unlikely, but they're not. It is, I like the wordage, architect's prayer, frozen mid-gesture, a sense of ambition and wanting, and possibly a sense or yearning for connection. Petrified silhouette, how beautiful that is. City dwellers, it indicates to me isolation and loneliness in the midst of others around. It is another poem about a city. It seems both a place of possibilities, yet isolation. And the whole poem asks, how do we connect with our environment? And it suggests that for many, it's just a dreamlike experience, which, let me go back to Marc Chagall. Many of his paintings were very dreamlike, and I am seeing images in my mind as I read this poem, which is absolutely delightful. And then the final line, a woman painting herself out of a gray daydream. Well, then I'm going to say that that is very much a Magritte sort of statement. So to this artist, it's a wonderful artist poem, and I absolutely give it up to the poet, who by all obvious means is definitely an artist, and very, very nice.
Excellent.
That's all
comment,
I got.
Dottie.
Did I redeem myself on that one? I mean, you're going to just let me stay for a minute.
You're doing brilliantly.
Yes,
we're doing. I feel like an idiot. You're doing wonderfully, so we're okay. We're balancing each other. So let's go for that look. Sorry, Gray. Over to you, love.
That's okay. To me, I really enjoyed those first two stanzas. She looks naked when veiled in oceans exhaling, the architect's prayer to the sky, frozen in the breathless moment of reaching out. And then, the whole thing is beautiful. And, it's definitely a kind of stark reminder of modern life, because to them on the freeway, this is a snow globe. All they remember of these towers, these glass flowers on our grave, is a woman painting herself out of a gray daydream, reaching back. You can't touch the past. The past is gone. So, reach forward. And great, right? Pleasure to read it.
Ask me that question.
All right, Weaver, where would you next?
And next we have Everything Gray is Gay by Blue Leader One. And Dottie, could you give this one a read for us, please?
Okay, give me a minute. I'm having problems here.
Would you like me to read it? I'll read it and you can do the next one.
Sure.
Okay, now I'll do read this one and you get the next one.
Okay.
Okay. Everything gray is gay. Earth, sky, sea, and rain. Everything is gray. And everything is gay. Here and there a thunderbolt, white lightning and thunder. I wonder. Walking slowly on wet sands, a last stand contraband, a hard place to get to and a hard place to hold on to. The bones of a park rises bold and stark. We're here for the fireworks. Roman candles explode and lights up the sky. Too real to feel. Terry danced with me to the radio, radio, radio. End poem.
Excellent read, Weaver. And I enjoyed the write, earth, sky, sea, and rain, everything is gray, and everything is gay. Here and there, a thunderbolt, white lightning, and thunder, I wonder. Walking slowly on wet sand, a last stand contraband. And then, you know, I like, we're here for the fireworks. Roman candles explode and lights up the sky. Too real, too feel. And then also the penultimate stanza, Carrie, dance with me to the radio, radio, radio. Yeah, it was definitely a thought-provoking poem filled with excellent imagery. I really liked it a lot. What did you think, Dottie?
I'm still kind of reading. It's vivid, and I'd say complex. There are emotions. There are a few things that have stopped me. The bones of a park rises bold, and I'm trying to figure out, is this some sort of Armageddon? Or are we talking about some destructive element that was left behind? And we're here for the fireworks. Roman candles explode, lights up the sky. Does that indicate war? There are so many different ways that you can interpret this. Too real to feel. Is it a dream? And it doesn't matter. It's an interesting thing. It could be literal. It could be just, you know, talking about walking on the beach at night, on a stormy night. It could be possibly metaphorical. It could be a commentary about your own state of depression or loss. I don't know. Again, I kind of look to you to help give the stability. It is a beautiful read. The words flow. It is definitely a valid poetry, but it can go so many different ways. Maybe it's just my outlook, but I think I need you to kind of give me some concreteness to this. To back up thought. So it is very important, and I appreciate very much the poet.
Great comment. Thank you so much. And Weaver, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I hoped you were going to talk first. Okay. Damn. Okay, not a problem. Everything great is gay. I like this a lot because this is... this is somebody who doesn't think what he's seeing is actually real. He thinks this is a hard place to get to and it's a hard place to hold on to. So he wants it to be his life. He wants it to be the way he wants it, which is Roman candles and lights up in the sky and dancing to the radio, radio, radio. But unfortunately, at the beginning, we kind of see that maybe it's not going to be as much as fun as he hoped it might be. Whatever decision he's made, he's looking for it to turn out right. And it may well do. We don't know. We'd have to wait and see. It's one of those leaving you at the end with a lot of thoughts and questions, which is also very good because it involves you within the poetry itself and makes you think about the person that wrote it, which is very clever because we're going, okay, what do you mean? And that's excellent. So, yes, I really enjoyed this. Thank you very much for sharing it with us, Blue Beater.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment. And so what do we have next, Weaver?
And next, coming up, we have God Lied. No! God Lied by Omega AM. And Dottie, you feel like reading this? It's quite a short one.
I might. And hold it together if it's short enough. You know?
Yeah.
We'll see. As long as there are no hard words in it, okay?
No.
Right. And this is God Lied. Okay. Give me half a minute. Oh, that's a pretty neat photo. God Lied. You promised forever. You're not here. The empty, the sky blank sky, opaque fog, dam. You're not here. Hope not working. Lost in the wind, forgotten dream. You're not here. Fading light, whispers gasping. You fade disguise. You're not here. Sobbing clouds, change skies. Empty voids. You're not here. Promise forever. God lied. I am not here. End of poem.
Wow, fantastic read. And I like the repetition of you're not here. You know, it has that feeling of loneliness and loss, you know. And then to feel like God lied is definitely a horrible feeling, because you're not here, which is hard to take and unreal. The sky empty, blank sky, opaque, fog, damn. Hope not working, lost in the winds, forgotten dreams. Fading light, whispers gasping, euthanasia skies. Dissolving clouds, changed skies, empty voids. You promise forever. You're not here. God lied. Wow. It's a haunting, right? And what are your thoughts, Weaver?
I see that the poet was given a little bit of a hard time in the comments because of her poetry. I'm a firm believer in, you know, you are allowed free speech unless you're actually physically harming someone else. You know, you'd have to be throwing your laptop at them, as far as I'm concerned, before you're actually doing them any harm with words. I just think this is, yeah, that's somebody's thought. That's how they feel. I myself don't have any particular faith. I was a pagan and I was a witch and, you know, and I was many things. So I don't have that. I could also be a Buddhist. I would quite like that idea. Come back as something else. Wonderful. Possibly a man. That would be so cool. But yes, I can see, and everybody should be allowed to say what they wish within their own poetry. Although it's also his right to complain. Of course it is. You know, we all have those rights. But it's live and let live in this little world of AP, and that's the way it should be. No one should be frightened to speak out and share their thoughts. And anyway, I thought it was very well done, and I enjoyed it a lot.
Great comment. And Dottie, would you like to get a quick comment in?
Okay. Yes, I agree with everything you guys said. I'm sorry that this person may have gotten some negative feedback for her thoughts, God lied. People tend to be way too judgmental, and I think that, you know, you cannot judge somebody on their thoughts, their religion, anything. The poem was harsh, yet very calm. It was very, very direct, and I love the flow of it. The sky empty, blank sky, opaque fog, damn, you're not here. And the repetition of you're not here. And I will say this, the former school teacher, the Y-O-U-R, would, the whole poem would hold together much better if it were Y-O-U apostrophe R-E, unless yours should be a possessive rather than a contraction. So, you know, that's just a me thing. The poem is still strong. It holds together. God lied. You're angry at God, and who has not been angry at their God before? And that is okay. That means you're dealing with some shit. Is it okay? I said shit. Take it back.
Yes. No, it's fine. Fine.
Okay. And I will say I feel the poet's pain. We've been there. We've all been there. And it's well told. And kudos to Omega. My hat's off to her.
Fantastic. fantastic comment, Dottie. And thank you, Weaver, for calling in and being such a wonderful co-host. And thank you for calling in and being such a wonderful reader and commenter, Dottie. Much appreciated. Always glad to have a new voice on the program. And, yeah, thank it was wonderful.
Thank you both for putting up with me. And I appreciate your patience.
It was fun.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, it sure was. Much love, everyone. Have a great night.
All right.
Good night.
Bye, everyone.
Good night.
Catch you on the text, AC, okay?
Yes, my darling. Catch you soon. I'll
be
up.
Good night, buddy.
Good night. Good night, Greg.
Good night, Weaver. Good night, Dottie.
Thanks, Greg.
You too.
Good night, John Boy.
Good night, Dottie.
I hear Dylan.
Oh, bad cough.
Good night.